Community Hero Van Jones by Rosemary Pritzker. Van Jones is one of the most vivid and spirited speakers alive today. President and co-founder of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, based in Oakland, California, one of the keys to success has been his larger-than-life personality, his moving and powerful way with words. It's not just his charisma that led to his success, though. He's one of the most strategic thinkers on the world-changing scene today through linking environmentalism and social justice. He's found a more effective way of addressing both issues. This is manifested in a movement called Green for All, his most notable effort toward revealing this connection to the world. He's been making waves for over 10 years as a human rights activist. He jokes about how in the past he'd stand up on the soapbox and say, "We got kids going to school, 36 kids in one classroom with 6 books, no chalk." The response was always "not interested." Then when all of a sudden everything echo started to take center stage, he said, "We want to create green jobs to keep kids out of jail." The response was "green, green, someone get this man a microphone." Van also asked, as green moves to the center of our culture and economy, "Who are we going to take with us and who are we going to leave behind?" Van's most recent project, Green for All, will provide tens of thousands of green-collar jobs to minority and low-income people, mostly youth in urban areas. These jobs will include things like solar panel installation, weatherizing buildings, and setting up wind farms. Now, instead of ending up in jail, these kids can learn a trade, like electrical engineering by being trained in solar panel installation. This could lead to joining an electrical workers union, eventually becoming a manager, maybe one day starting their own business. Van Jones and Ella Baker Center presented the idea of green-collar jobs to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and together they created the Green Jobs Act. The act was recently passed in the U.S. House of Representatives and will go on to become part of the next energy bill. The bill awards $125 million to fund 30,000 green-collar jobs per year. But Van didn't stop there. He went on to the Clinton Global Initiative, where he raised even more money. His goal? To raise $1 billion for green-collar jobs by the year 2012. He asks, "Can we make sure the green wave lifts all boats?" I say we can. Recently at the Bioneers Conference, after pointing out the difference between the environmental issues poor black people care about and the ones affluent white people worry about, he jokingly declared, quote, "This is the PowerPoint presentation Al Gore would give if he was black." Van often resembles a stand-up comic, but also has the ability to speak from the depths of his heart with more clarity and vision than anyone I've heard. Most people who've had the chance to hear him speak have no doubt deduced that this man will go down in history. This humble heavyweight may frequently meet with powerful politicians about his assorted projects, but he always has time for the mother of the kid who got abused in the horrendous California Youth Authority prison system, or the exuberant high school activist at an environmental conference, or a friend, and he always has something profound to say. Already the recipient of several prestigious awards, including the 1998 Reebok International Human Rights Award and the Rockefeller Foundation Next Generation Leadership Fellowship, as well as being a board member for several acclaimed groups and organizations, Van has a clear vision of what the future could look like and how we can live together. No matter what issue he's addressing, he speaks out about finding new, creative ways of changing the way things are done and finding new ways of loving each other and resolving our conflicts. But he wasn't always the dynamic, witty, confident figure he is today. He'd be the first to tell you he started out life as a constantly sick, skinny kid with a speech impediment and a limp. Had to work hard to overcome these setbacks. He was, however, able to rise above his challenges and become one of the most well-known, well-liked, powerful, and strategic human rights activists today. Marianne Manilov, a close friend and ally of his, says that when she first started working with him 15 years ago, he was extremely shy, wouldn't lift his head from his legal books long enough to engage in conversation during their activist carpool ride. When they pulled up to his home, he'd say, quote, "thanks," and then practically run inside. As a child, his heroes were Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy. He explained that they brought hope to the country. "I wanted to do that as a child. I wanted to be able to use words to inspire people to take action during times of consequence for the nation." In his earlier years as an adult, Van became acutely aware of injustice and racism, becoming more and more disillusioned with our country's politics. For a while, he sought refuge in the words and actions of civil rights figures such as Malcolm X, the Black Panthers, as well as revolutionaries like Che Guevara and Amilcar Cabral. Ella Baker, a little-known civil rights activist who is the namesake for the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, said, "We who believe in freedom cannot rest until all mothers, children are honored." Van said, "I just drank the Kool-Aid on that." He would repeat to himself over and over, "We cannot rest, we cannot rest, we cannot rest, we cannot rest." His constant working, fighting, worrying, sleeping in his clothes with the lights on, surrounded by books, hurt him on every level. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, he was severely depleted. One day in July of 2000, his body literally wouldn't put up with it anymore. He had a major emotional breakdown. He finally admitted to himself he needed time off. It took Van 2 years of facing his spiritual self, feeding his health needs, spending time with people outside of his work, to return to what he considered a stable place. His breakdown happened just a few months after Julia Butterfly Hill came down from her 2-year tree sit. Both of them emotionally raw and wanting to work hard to change the world, they helped each other walk through this difficult time. He stresses the importance of allowing yourself to recharge and talk to people who aren't involved in your work in order to get outside perspective. He emphasizes this by saying, "We who believe in freedom have to rest." And he was no longer as inspired by his previous anger-based heroes. Now, he says, "I would point to Gandhi and Julia Butterfly as heroes. I also asked him who he thinks will be remembered as today's heroes 100 years from now. He said it depends on who's able to turn things around. Just a handful of people leave footprints on our society large enough to be remembered a century later, but he thinks that in our day and age it might be networks of people as opposed to individuals who are recognized. I would put Mayora Carter up there as a leading contender to be remembered in 100 years. Mayora is another spokesperson for the movement towards melding the human rights and environmental movements doing similar work to Van in the South Bronx. I would venture to guess that Van will be right there with her in the future halls of heroes." Most people find it unbearable to admit a mistake as if it's a sign of failure, which is hardly accepted in our culture, yet Van admits to his mistakes all the time in public and private. "I share the mistakes and failures as well as the successes because that's the truth of my journey and of anyone's journey," he says. I also asked if he's ever afraid someone will exploit his mistake, make him look bad. He says no, he doesn't worry about this because he's not so concerned with the way he's making himself look. He'd rather confess than accuse. "I can't rail against all the warmongers, polluters, incarcerators out there," he says, "without first confessing to all the warmongers, polluters, and incarcerators that I carry within myself. I'm just as bad and terrible and greedy and selfish as all the folks in the White House whom I like to criticize and oppose. I have no doubt about that." He continued explaining that in trying to be a good person, he needs to face the reality that he has demons, must deal with his challenges, struggles on the path. His hope is that if he is willing to fess up to his faults, it will open up the space for everyone else to forge ahead together. Quote, "If the road to social transformation can be paved only by saints who never make mistakes, the road will never be built," he said so wisely. "The upside is that we don't have to be perfect to save our communities and restore the earth. We just have to try hard and be as honest as we can be about the processes we're going through. We need more people like Van Jones if we're going to turn things around, because these are the people who will be holding the torch that lights the way to a safe, peaceful future in which everyone is taken care of. When I am in Van's presence, I see the roaring fire of hope and hard work bursting out of his mouth, his eyes, his heart. I see a flickering of light in the heart of everyone who is touched by him and feel it within myself. He inspires us to act because he helps us believe we can make a difference. He inspires us to come together because we don't want to go it alone in this confused world of shattered ties and unnecessary battles." Julia Butterfly's most famous quote is, quote, "Through life's trials and hardships, we arise beautiful and free. In the course of a lifetime, all good-hearted people have to learn to take care for themselves before caring for others. Unfortunately, this lesson rarely comes easily. Van's breakdown helped him understand what he could never have learned by being told or by reading it in a book. He had to learn that you can't save a drowning person until you learn how to swim. He had to sink to the depths of despair and learn to swim before he could resurface. He had to learn to rely on other people for support before he could support others. We all need to recognize that we're in this big, beautiful world together. And as Van says, we will not leave anybody behind. We don't have time to fight or hate. As Martin Luther Jr. said, hate is too heavy a burden to bear. Van did learn how to swim, and his time of recovery and contemplation is what made him the legendary luminary he is today. It allowed him to arise beautiful and free.